Please don't be killed.
Doopy doo. I need a hug.
Let's make a podcast, boys.
Let's do it. Shut up and sit down.
Happy cycling is safe cycling.
I think I'll go for a ride. Kick the bike out of the shed. Make a fresh start. Get out of my head.
Before we start cycling, we have to prepare. First of all, you need suitable clothing that can soak up the sweat.
A little boy on a mission, like the Tour de France.
No, don't cycle drunk or stoned.
I was a king, the bike, the road, and me. I think I'll go for a ride.
You are listening to Dialed Podcast with Matt LeGrand, Evan Price, Lance Hepler, and Jake Von Turing. I will always cherish the initial misconceptions I had about these knuckleheads. Enjoy the show.
Prepare the body for biking. Make it warm, hot, and steamy. Ready to go.
Home as many miles, you think you're...
If you reach a pedestrian crossing, then you have to stop, even if these persons are very ugly or old.
Some days I'm Sean Kelly. Some days I'm David Byrne, pedaling through Dublin town or in Portland, Oregon.
If you want to pass someone, use your bell. Pass him and say thank you.
When you ride the frontier between nature and mankind, I think I'll go for a ride. I think I'll go for a ride.
What if you become very light in your head? I myself always have an emergency potato in my pants. And when I get hungry on the road, I just cook it.
Hi, and welcome back to the Dial Podcast. I'm Jake Wonder. I'm here with Lance Hepler.
Lance Romance.
In studio.
You're welcome.
With his pants on, though.
With my pants.
Pants on. Pants optional.
To his left, Evan Price.
I am enjoying the very last energy drink. In Whoa. The dialed refrigerator.
It's now empty.
Lance, let me well have
done.
It.
Well done, people.
You know, there's Papillion? Actually there's a little bit more carbonation there than I thought there was going to be.
Okay.
Like, it's definitely not as much as your typical Monster, but it's not bad. It's the
Monster
the,
juice?
The juice. Yeah. The juice Monster. So you know it's good for you. Maybe.
Never had it.
Probably not.
Last but not least, Matt LeGrand.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen of the internet? You guys are looking chipper today.
Mm.
Real chipper.
I look lumberjacky.
You do. You do. With the stash. The stash leads its way all the way straight into the, you know.
I got a flannel
into
on.
The flannel, plaid flannel.
How long will you rock flannels for before it's like too summery for flannels?
I don't know. It depends
on. Are flannels, I mean, like if you're in the true Pacific Northwestern, can you rock flannels all the way through the summer?
If it's under 60 degrees, I can rock a flannel. Although it's not under 60
out
there right now.
Yesterday was hot. I got sunburned yesterday. Yesterday was hot.
I think in this part of the country, it's legal to wear it.
To wear flannel?
Up to 75 degrees without getting a ticket.
Into August.
Oh.
All the way into August. And after that, it's a little sketch.
Yeah, you might get written up for that.
We'll find out, right, Lance?
We'll find out.
Hey, Lance.
Yes.
You want to backpedal?
I rode my bike this last week. I actually did 14 hours last week, which was was pretty good for me. So I raced once. I did nice. Go out with Evan and do the...
Peer pressure works. It works like a charm.
We raced the 4-5 Masters Field at PIR, at Portland International Raceway. And I didn't embarrass myself. Evan did.
I was there.
But I
did. Oh, yeah. Evan showed that his teamwork is absolutely terrible. We all had fun.
We did have fun. And we tried. It was like a 13 lap race. It's like a 2 mile per lap, something like that. I think Evan sat on the front for 12 of those 13 laps.
Tried to get away many a time.
We tried to let him get away.
I thought that first one was going to stick. Like there was one point I looked back. I was like, I think I have it. And I did not have it. But,
I got the opportunity to see some GoPro footage on. It's just, you just see Evan dangling out there like 100 meters out front, just like going like crazy hard, like just like killing himself, turning himself inside out, and everybody's just kind of like back their crews and just sharking them.
I know. I had what, probably like a 15-20 second gap with like 4 or 5 laps left, I
correct.
Think.
Correct. Yeah. And you held it for a few laps.
Yeah, I thought it was going to stick, but
it didn't stick.
Yeah. And then I went again. And then still did not stick.
There was 5 or 6 guys ahead of me. There was like 40 people in the field, and I was sitting in like the top 10 just to cover moves if I needed to.
Yeah,
and
you were in great position the entire time.
Well, there were 5 or 6 guys that wanted it, And yeah. Because you were alone, you just couldn't get away. And so
I know.
They pulled you back.
Those five or six guys, also the first time I was doing it, they're like, all five of them are just strong enough that if they don't want me to get away, they can work together and make sure I don't. So.
Need some hills, Evan.
I do need a hill or two. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's pancake flat.
I need a 10-minute climb.
But I didn't embarrass myself.
Good job.
I even sprinted at the end and ramped it all the way up to 900 watts.
That's I thought you touched it. Was it
980 or 950?
Well, and it's funny because I was talking with, a couple guys after the race, and there's, guys who have big, big max sprints, and some of them were like in the 800s, maybe low 900s. Like, God, it's really hard to like sprint at the end with how much work is in that last lap. And I was like, yeah, Lance almost touched 1,000 after. And that's going into that sprint, it's tough because people work pretty hard those last like two laps at PIR usually.
Yeah. They work pretty hard. But that was fun. Did the gravel ride. We had a blast.
Yes, sir.
We had a bunch of people out there because the weather was nice. And so we ripped on some gravel, which was a good time. We had the flogging ride. We had a good turnout for that.
How was that? Good?
I did a lot of intensity this week, more than
That's
I probably should have.
You need an easy ride.
I do need an easy ride, probably but instead, I'm probably going to go race again tonight.
It's probably good that you didn't go to that race yesterday, because that would have been 4 days of intensity in one week.
Yeah.
Did you go long this weekend?
I know. I rode like 3 hours yesterday.
That was smart.
It's not bad.
Yeah. And Saturday, we had our Bikes for Kids event. I will let
Jake backpedal that.
Yeah. When did you ride on Sunday? Yesterday?
Like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
I rode for like 3 hours. I went out to Crown Point and back.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I should have texted you, but yeah. I was going to ride by your house, but I was already like pretty tired at that point. I'm like, if Lance wants to ride hard, I don't want to, so.
But no, yeah, I had a great week on the bike. It was nice because we had decent weather finally here.
We've had good weather. For a couple days. Rain's
coming
back.
He's looking tanned and lumberjacked right now. like a guy who was lumberjacking on Sunday.
Evan Price, real quick before you backpedal.
Yeah.
Did you forget to put on sunscreen yesterday?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's got a nice crispy
line. Tell me. One of my very few New Year's resolutions, because usually I'm like, I'm already failing at multiple things, so why make a resolution I'm going to also fail at? I was like, I am going to put on sunscreen more frequently this year. And much like, does anybody watch The Office here?
Yes.
Much like Creed's attempt at doing a cartwheel, I have failed miserably so far. And I will, the only day I've told Cassie I won't is when I, on a race day. But tonight at the bike race, I'm going to put on sunscreen before.
Wait, so you won't wear sunscreen on race day?
Only on triathlon race days.
I think
reasoning is very, very bad. It's a texture thing with my hands.
Okay,
I can relate
because I'm a big anti-sunscreen person when it comes to like, I don't want any of it on my fingers. I don't want any of it to get too close to my eyes.
It's a very sensory thing for me with my fingers.
And, okay,
yeah.
So, but I still think, well, I mean, think Iron Man. You have to wear sunscreen.
Oh, if I'm doing a full Iron Man, absolutely. There's no way I'm getting away with it.
Sunscreen below the eyes, back of the neck needs to be thick.
Yeah.
Because you're like leaned over.
I need it on my forms. My forms are there, and legs.
And then you have to wash your hands afterwards.
I think I might have Cassie put it on me then so I don't get it on my hands.
And then wash your hands. I'm telling you, just wash your hands afterwards and that'll.
There's one by Coppertone that we discovered. It was probably
not too oily
within the past year.
Yeah.
I hate that too. Like I'm very much, I don't like putting sunscreen on for that 100% reason.
Yeah.
Not just because doing a ride anytime. I just don't like it. I don't like lotions on my hand. We got this new stuff and I swear you put it on and it like evaporates dry on your hands. I'm like, it's not greasy,
cool.
Nothing. And,
and
it's a sport version too.
Okay,
so
cool. Because even the spray stuff I've tried, but the problem with the spray stuff, then I got to rub it in, and then that stuff does not come off. Once that spray stuff is on your hands, that is like ingrained in your fingerprints for the next like week. Yeah.
Gotcha. Anyway, backpedal.
So, Monday, me and Lance raced, which was just awesome and
fun. We had lots of teammates out there.
Oh, yeah. Tons of teammates. Yep. And, I mean, I'm like the worst at any team planning. So, I did have one plan that almost worked. Is I realized the only time at PIR you can attack and it works is right after hot laps.
Correct.
Because otherwise you need a monstrosity of an effort to get away.
But you need to do it with somebody else.
Yes. And there was one guy who went with me. Did you see the guy who went with me?
He bridged up to you.
I don't know who this guy is, but I want to give him, this guy deserves, if I would have won anything that day, I would have just given it to him, because this is not me being mean. This guy was probably in his mid-40s and has kids and probably works his darn butt off and wakes up at 5 a.m. every morning. He just gave me that vibe with him. he's not a climber by any means, I'll say. And the brave man, he latched onto my wheel knowing that my only goal was to get away from this field. Like, good on him, because all of a sudden I get away to look back and I'm like, this is not the guy I was expecting to be on my wheel right now. So I keep on pushing and I look back at him. I was like, I just need 10 seconds. That's all I need. Just give me 10 seconds.
Did you tell him that?
I told him that. I was like, just 10 seconds. Laugh? No, he like looked at me. He's like, okay, I think I can do that. And he pulls up front, hammers for 10 seconds. I pull back in front. I was like, I'll pull for the whole next lap. Just give me another 10 seconds at this spot. And he looks up to me and goes, dude, I'm blowing. And it just goes up.
Piston ring blows out the top. Yeah.
Right back to the field.
And I almost wanted to like shake his hand before I left, but I was too tired. So yeah, I was like, you're the man. You are awesome.
I can relate to that.
And then for like, I don't know, what was it like? It's like 4 or 5 laps dangling at like 20 seconds, maybe.
Yes, they let you dangle for...
Yeah. And then I could tell when they started to like line out, they were working. I kept on peering back. I'm like, oh crap, they're moving quick. So then they brought me in with like 2 laps left. And I'm like, well, that was my move. Like, you know, once again, failed. Like, sorry, Jerry, failed again.
You tried to go again with 2 laps to go.
I thought that one might have stuck because it was right at the end of the last hot lap.
Yeah.
And I knew everybody was tired. And I was like, okay, I got to just go all in here. Nobody went with me, though. That was when I was like, I'm in trouble because nobody went with me. So barely stayed away. We came into last straightaway, which unfortunately is a headwind, and it's hopeless going. It was. I know what every Conti pro now feels like on those long straightaway stages when they're away for 100 miles, and the poor guy who races for like some bike shop in Spain like gets reeled in just at the very end.
And the whole field went past Evan right on that last back stretch.
Yep. Out front doing it for our sponsors.
Yeah,
there you go. I got as much dialed sponsor time as I possibly could. But
I think Nate Scott was like 4th.
Nate's in the top 5.
5th,
yeah.
and who else was up there? I think Tim Nas was up there.
Tim
was
up there. Yep. Tim
came around in the final sprint.
As long as you had fun.
I had
as long
a blast.
As you guys
had
fun.
Oh yeah.
That's all that matters, guys.
I know how I have fun. It's try to get away, and if it doesn't work, which it never does, you know, it's all a fun day.
You try.
I know.
Same tactic tonight, right?
But well, no, it's like, because some people talk to me after, they're like, why don't you save your moves for the end? I was like, what move? That is the move. That's the only move I have. Like, I'm not going to hang in there and sprint with
one
Lance.
Trick pony.
Like, me and Lance have got enough bike rides together for me to know, like, yeah, I'm not just going to like grow 300 watts in my legs in the next 24 hours. But no, it was fun.
Take a flyer or two tonight. If you're gonna, are you gonna race tonight?
Yeah, I will.
Take a flyer or two, but don't sit out the whole time. And then maybe have a little bit more of a plan.
I need to convince one guy to come with me.
Come with you, and then
or the move needs to be more violent.
You could. Well, this is a problem. I really tried him. Okay, so
TT away.
Here we go.
You can't just like
excuses.
Slowly ramp it up and roll away. You're just gonna pull everybody with you.
Is my excuses is with. My training loads right now are 25 plus hours a week. And I realize I'm not using that as excuses. I know I can still put in moves, but my legs are like on the brink of cramping all week all the time. And I know when I spike into that, like I can do that. Like I did it yesterday on large climb. I was just doing over-unders on large climb. And like my legs feel great until I hit like 500 watts and then they feel super not fun for like, so I know like I can float in those fours, but as soon as I touch 5, it's like, oh God, I'm about to cramp.
Maybe like the last like lap and a half or something like that, you need to, if you can't make something stick, maybe you just need to go sit on the front and just camp out at like 480 watts so you don't cramp.
That's basically what.
And get some teammates lined up behind you and be the train. Thin out the field so that you guys can have a nice clean shot.
Well, and what we need, I mean, honestly, if Lance wants to not hot lap sprint at one point, you and I could stay away there.
I never hot lap sprint. I let Nate do it.
This is, here's the hot lap sprint thing. Everybody kills themselves on that sprint and then they're all spread out. You just got to be the sneaky guy at that point. And you just sneak through and put in your 450 watt effort for a minute and you get away.
Yeah.
So
there's always going to be a guy. I don't know why some guys do this too. That hot lap, the preem lap, whatever you want to call it, you only get the top 3 people get points in.
Correct.
This is a points race, right? So there's always going to be like guy number 5, 6, and 7 that have no opportunity.
Match.
They blow matches. Like, why are you doing that? But find that guy and sit on his wheel and just let him pull you up and just like, oh, thank you. See ya.
That's a one difference I need to do, because last time on the hot lap sprint, I had to work too hard to get past the guys. I need to follow, just like you said, number 5 and 6, and then slingshot.
Find a teammate or two that can sit on your wheel so that you guys can all do that together.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
If I can convince Nate to not sprint, because he obviously has the engine to do whatever he wants. So that's
is he okay? His back, it sounded like he kind of had a little bit of an issue yesterday.
He raced again yesterday and still finished, but his back locked up on a little bit.
Real cool. I'll finish my back pedal here by just talking about Josh. Josh coming out of his Ironman takes a massively 5 to 6 day off season, you know, huge off season, little bit sick, kind of slowly coming back into some aerobic training. And since we have Blue Lake Worlds coming up, the most important race in the entire world next weekend, bar none, Kona doesn't even stand a chance. We need to do 2 triathlon takeovers and multiple predictions for this race. But Josh is like, okay, I need to start gearing back up some intervals here. And I mean, Josh's training wise can just take load after. I mean, the guy can take tons of load. But even seeing him fatigued coming out of this Ironman, I was like, yeah, he gave a lot in that Ironman. He's very tired. He raced, let me think, Saturday. So he leaves Friday, races, I believe, Saturday at Onion Man.
Walla Walla, Washington. Walla Walla, Washington. It's about a 4-hour drive from here.
Smokes some college kids, like, by
a lot. He won the whole thing overall.
Or something. Yeah. Staying pretty conservative, actually. He was staying very conservative during that. Then he drives down back home, goes to the banana race on Sunday.
The banana belt race on Sunday. Yes.
And from all reports I heard, basically got the breakaway and then did 80% of the load of work in that breakaway, which is just, if there's a theme for me and Josh, it's that we're not going to win. Just get on our wheel and we'll try to keep us away is basically it.
So Josh is
got away with Hanel there too. And Hanel loves doing that kind of stuff too. So Hanel was probably like,
well, and this is the bummer for both of them, is like, if anybody in that race knows of Josh or knows of Hanel, they're going to be like, I don't need to do any work. These guys are going to keep us away for the entire time. I'm just going to sit here and wait. And that's basically what happened to both of them, unfortunately. These guys just sat in.
I don't think the brake stuck.
No, it did. It stayed.
Well, why did Hanel finish like...
No, I don't think it stuck.
I think he kind of sat up or something.
Oh, Josh was fifth then.
He was.
Oh, did Hanel have to drop out of the brake, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay.
He's probably fatigued. he had a huge weekend.
So yeah. So anyway, Josh like finished fifth there, whatever. But he said he got outsprinted by whoever was in the break with him. So he goes then, and that his normalized power in that race was like 320.
Yeah.
So he just literally time trialed that race, I'm pretty sure.
Wait, and then he went for a run afterwards.
Yes. At his kid's.
Wait, no.
Oh yeah.
Wait.
Before, he ran just after the race.
No, wait. Before the race, the race was at a lake. He drove there early and swam in the lake. Then he did.
I love that guy.
Then he did the road race. Yep. Then he went for a short jog, and then he went to his kids' race.
Drove to his kids' track practice. So his kids are like in these. I think it's like a 400 meter series each week.
Yeah.
Cool. And of course, Josh's kids are like tearing this race up because they have his genes. So they're like, but there's an adult race after that, which Josh did not know was actually going to happen. I don't think, but had his run shoes in the car and was like, screw it. I'm just gonna do the adult race.
Oh my gosh.
Races a high school whisper kid who I pace, who I know is pretty darn spicy and quick. A high school kid runs, I think, like 5:08, just casually.
It's Josh, 1 mile.
Yeah, 1 mile. And then Josh runs like 5:10 or something like that. Yeah. And it's like a grass mile too. Yeah, he just like 3 races, 2 days. But
I heard from Josh. He sent me a text after the race yesterday, and I'll read it to you right now.
Yeah.
Dude, I had more fun than I've ever had at any, all caps, any endurance race in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, my first bike race, made the breakaway, and we made it stick, was fifth overall, learned a bunch too, definitely did too much of the work in the breakaway, haha.
Yeah.
So,
it did stick.
Before that race, because he's really planning on coming to PIR, I think, I forget, 2 or 3 dates.
Yeah.
And I was telling him before, because he's like, okay, you've been bike racing for like a long time, like, do you like it? And I told him, I was like, I love it way more than triathlon. Like, I love triathlon, don't get me wrong, but there's something about in a bike race that cannot be beaten. There's nothing that beats being
in
a bike race.
You've got your fitness, and that's what you got. You know, you have to play that card, and that's really the only card that you have to play.
Oh, yeah.
Bike racing, you can be
it's a race.
The lesser racer and win.
Exactly.
And you can work for teammates.
Yes.
Correct.
So there's a whole team
There's dynamics the entire time. It's fun, but you're right. Like a triathlon is like a... It's like an offering almost. You walk all the way up the mountain, you give the offering, and then you die coming back down, basically. Yeah. And what you have to give is what you have to give. A bike race is like a sledding downhill. Anything can happen. You have no clue. You can hit a tree for all you know. Like anything can happen. So it's a blast. But he's gonna That's love awesome. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yep.
One good stuff for the show today.
You're only allowed one.
Yeah. Matt. What'd you do this week, bud?
I did not bike much, tell you that much.
But you did announce.
I think I got out to get some video footage using the new Garmin 715 radar, which we'll talk about later. But so I think I biked once, and then I swam like 4 or 5 times this week. A couple of outdoor swims in the Fallen Leaf Lake. It was
your buoys are so awesome. Those are exactly.
Were you guys there Sunday morning?
Sunday. Those are exactly 500. Sunday was fine. I mean, it's chilly, but definitely cold. Better than it was last week.
Saturday early morning. I'll come join you guys on some Sundays.
It warmed up on Sunday, so I think it's going to be even warmer next week.
Yeah. So yeah, open water swimming was good, and yeah, testing lots of stuff, but not biking very much. I probably will still be biking indoors, which kind of stinks, but it is what it is.
But you announced.
How's the leg feeling?
The Achilles is a killing me. No, it's okay. I'm walking around on it. It's sore. I'm kind of limping around on it a lot, but I'm not using a boot. I'm not using a crutch.
That's good.
And I think I'm going to try to start like a walking regimen, you know, like, you know, 15 minutes of walking, try to walk correctly. I just came back from a doctor's appointment. I came from a doctor's appointment here. So that's what we talked about.
Mm-hmm. See Matt getting into speed walking.
No.
Shaking his hips side to side.
If I can speed walk, I can probably run. And if I can run, if I'm running slow, I'll take it.
You need
it.
To get into isometrics first. Don't just run early. Yeah. Don't.
I need a good PT. Well,
fast walking is not running. We'll talk about it later. But I just want to give you a couple things to do at home because I do not want to read on Strava eccentric. All of a sudden that Matt attempted a run and was like, wow, that hurt really, really, really bad because it's going to.
The run stuff is going to be a while. So.
Yep.
Cool.
Sam's awesome, by the way. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
His freestyle. He's a smooth freestyler.
He's Sam.
He's a pretty smooth. Like that was a smooth stroke.
He's getting fast, actually.
Kids fly though at that age cracks me up. They all look so terrible flying. Like what age they hit where all of a sudden they look good flying?
He's getting faster than us on the fly though.
I mean, I'm sure he'd still smoke me. But I'm saying like they just like flop through the water, and then his freestyle. Sure. I'm watching him like, oh my god, he looks like 100 times smoother than me.
His head kind of bounces when he. So I was at a swim meet. This is what Evan's talking about.
Floating on top of the water.
I was at a swim meet all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and I was the announcer for the swim meet, which was kind of fun, but also a long, long days. Of, as you can imagine, swim meets, and my middle kid swam and qualified for state.
Let's go,
in
Sam.
The butterfly. Uh-huh. In the butterfly.
Yeah.
And some backstroke stuff. So he's doing well.
Did you drop any humor on him?
He won his free.
No, I didn't. I thought about, well, actually, so I had someone take over the announcing right when he was, so I could like film him or take photos or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we traded out.
Oh, you should have been the dorky dad with like, that's my kid.
That's
right
my
there.
Kid right there.
Always dominating. Go, oh, Sam.
He's going to win his heat. Yeah. I love you. I love you, Sam. He would have liked that. He would have been the one that would be okay.
All the
with
other
it.
Kids suck. He's the best.
Ethan is the one that would be the most embarrassed because he's the cool kid. He's so cool.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Matt, you wouldn't understand because neither of us were cool kids. Nope. So no, you don't get it.
Cool. My week real quick is... It wasn't too much. I mean, I only rode 3 times last week because I just signed a contract to get into competitive landscaping and gardening. So I'm going to give up this whole biking thing for a bit. Podcast might change a little bit moving forward.
I just retired from competitive landscaping after 7 days.
I got so many house projects that I'm trying to get wrapped up right now. And it's just one of those things where I need to focus and get these things done. Unfortunately, it's taking away from my writing a little bit and work has been super busy and we've been absolutely slammed here. So
that's
I don't
good
know.
News.
The writing thing.
Wait, you were starting running?
Running.
Yeah. It's a running podcast.
The writing thing is kind of taking a little bit of a hit, but I still got some good rides. And we did the gravel ride, which was fun.
Good times.
Got a nice little flat tire on that one. I had to double plug it.
That's right. You have Cush cores in yours?
Right now, no, I do not.
Are you going to put Cush cores in?
I might go back to those.
You got to think about it.
I'm playing with different tires and configurations and sealants and trying to find out what's best and ideal and optimal for me. So. But we did that. We did the flogging ride, which was good. That was my first flogging ride in like 5 weeks, I think it was, because I was out of town. And then I was sick for 4 weeks. And weather obviously hasn't been playing nice. But I think I missed 5 weeks of that. So came back and was able to stick with the A group.
Yep.
And then there was a break and stayed with the break. And yeah, it was pretty good. But
no one got hurt out there.
Nope.
The big stuff, you know.
No, our boy Paul, so freaking strong.
He's able to
Does everybody
to bike?
Keep a track of Robert too? Robert's crushing right
I
now.
I chatted with Robert via text yesterday.
Yeah.
Did some mountain bike racing and they did fantastic. Landed on the podium.
They raced in a dial jersey.
Yeah. Robert is still on the team and races mountain bikes
for dial.
Correct. Nice. So, working fit. Said he's having fun. I think he's maybe starting to come around a little bit more back into the cycling thing. So, that's good. But the crown jewel of the entire week was our Bikes for Kids. We did our big bike giveaway over the weekend, and that was on Saturday. Had a bunch of teammates come out. We partnered up with the Vancouver Police Department's PALS program, which is kind of like an outreach program for at-risk kids. and a couple of the schools over there, and they basically found some kids who would be very deserving, that, you know, wouldn't have the financial wherewithal to get a bike like this. And they actually were able to build like a lot of criteria that went into this. And what was really cool is like a lot of these kids kind of live within a certain distance of the school, and a lot of them walk to school or whatnot. So this gives them a mode of transportation to be able to ride to school, which is kind of a neat thing. So we went out there, did a full bike clinic for the kids. Well, they showed up and they thought that they were just coming to the skills clinic just to get kind of like,
just to learn how to ride better
and different stuff. And like, and they're told that they get to ride on some nice bikes, and we'll have helmets and the whole food and the whole bit. So kids come out, there's a brand new, Giro MIPS helmet, kids helmet for them. They put on their helmet and they're like, oh, that's nice. And then they go over and then they pull out one of these BMC two-stroke 24-inch bikes, and they're brand new, and their bikes are really nice. They're like, oh, we get to ride these today? I'm like, yeah. Took them out, took them through all these different courses, and just had a blast. And then we finished up the day by handing out awards, and the kids, like, Dustin from our team was the coordinator who works for Vancouver Police Department, and did an amazing job of helping coordinate the whole thing. So we're finishing up the day, and he tells the kids, go put the bikes back because we got to save them for the next round of kids that are going to come use them. Put your helmets up, line them up, make them all look nice, and then we're going to do the awards. So they did that, and they came out, lined up, got all the awards handed out, and then played this card of like, oh, hey, let me get everybody's group picture, and took a picture. I'm like, oh, you know what? I forgot to get a picture of you guys on the bikes. Do you guys want to go get on the bikes one more time? And there was like this collective, yeah! So they go over, and they put their helmet on, they get their bike out, and they go get lined up, and we take pictures. And it's kind of funny. They've got a little bike bell on there. It's like ringing. They're like, ding, 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 ding. I'm like, oh, hold on. Don't ring bells for a second. And like, I was like, you know, did you have fun today? Ring a bell if you had fun. Ding, 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 ding. All right, stop. All right. Ring the bell if you want to keep the bike and the helmet that you have on right now. And then all of a sudden, like, there was like this just pause for a second. They were processing. And then all of a sudden, just like the collective scream. And like, they start ringing the bells and immediately start like flying all over the place on the bikes. They just completely dispersed. And it was just so awesome.
It was like an Oprah moment.
It was.
You get a bike. You get a bike.
Reach underneath your chairs.
Yeah.
There's two strokes.
Brand new. Brand new bike. So,
that was just so gratifying.
That's awesome.
You know, unfortunately, there was a fair amount of kids that couldn't make it. They all came down with COVID.
We ended up with 10 kids, sucks. And the plan was for 18, I believe.
Actually, or 20. There was 20, and there was a couple kids that couldn't come, and there was some like Hazeldale parade or
there
something like that. A couple of kids are like in
Saturday.
Band or something like that, playing in the marching band, and they had to cancel. And then was it only 10? I thought we had like 11 or 12. Was
I think it was 10, because initially it was 8, and then those two showed up a little later. So
gotcha.
It was half
the number of kids. So we've still got bikes for all those other kids, and inevitably they're going to find out that they were going to get a bike. And so we're already working with the PALS program to get those kids connected, because we've got bikes and helmets sitting here for them. And then a big thank you, too, to Auto Lux. They're a local Portland company. They donated a bunch of locks to the kids as well. So it was a really neat turn of events. Great thing. It's just awesome to see kids out there, more kids on bikes, and got a lot of great video, got a lot of great pictures, and I'm going to try and put something together so everybody can kind of experience the day.
It was very gratifying. Awesome. It was cool to be there.
Yep. Yeah. So. I know. And a big shout out to Garen Hunter. He had the one kid that just really didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Didn't really care for bikes after all. It was just kind of funny. And there, I don't know if you saw the pictures, Lance. There's like one picture where the kid like fell over and just like
his
feet are up
in
the air. And Garen's just standing there, just like you could see the look of defeat on his face. Like, oh, I'm going to get stuck with this kid. Little Louie. It was awesome. So, all right.
Of all the people who get started with that kid, I'm glad Garen was on it. Nobody's going to handle that better.
Cool. All right, let's move on.
Champ
is in the house.
Good times.
Champ is here. Yes.
There was bike racing.
There was bike racing. The Giro d'Italia went for another week. Richard Carapaz has now taken over the GC overall.
Mm-hmm. He's climbing
but
well.
But it's close, right?
He's climbing well.
There's a lot of guys within strike right now.
Jai Hundley is within striking distance.
Yeah. Bardet was,
sick. But he's out.
Yeah.
He bailed.
He's out. After Blockhaus, he's out.
Yes, but then he turned around and won a stage.
Did you see the stats on Blockhaus? It's over 10% average, I think. Yeah. It's an insane climb.
It's crazy.
The Giro has these weird climbs. You're like, why did they build a road there? That doesn't even make sense.
So still another exciting week to go. Caleb Ewing
Nibbly's
has bailed.
There.
What's that?
Nibbly's still there.
Nibbly's
what is he, 50
still there.
Now? Yeah.
He's
amazing.
He's like 41.
How is this guy still so strong?
We didn't pick winners for this, did we?
We didn't.
On there. So real quick, do you
can
guys
I say I would have picked Carapaz if you? He wins? Okay.
I can go on the record, and it was back on.
Did you say Carapaz?
I got it in a text here. So our listener, Scott Troutman, sent me a text. He's like, hey, who's going to win the Giro? And this was like, I don't know, like a week or so before it started. Yeah. And I told him that Richard Carapaz was going to win it.
That's
and
impressive. That's an impressive pick.
And then Tao, I said, would be a possible, runner there as well. But I picked Carapaz.
Yeah. There's, who I would have picked to be on the podium too, who it was awesome to see him have a good stage, but blew up in early, was Cicciuini, the Trek Italian rider.
Okay, yeah.
Great guy. Really cool story too. He has had a rough last 2 years.
Yeah.
A very, very rough last 2 years. So it was cool to see him break away and then just absolutely control that breakaway. It was like the most inevitable thing ever to watch him drop Carthy and the other guy with him. It was just clearly he's the strongest guy in that
group. It has been very fun to watch it. And there's another week to go. And then there'll be four
weeks
off.
They're ending on a time trial, aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah.
4 weeks off, and then the tour.
Gotta start making some picks here pretty soon. Get that pool set up.
We do need to get that pool set up. Also, in running news, very important in running news, actually, the high school record was broken. Roone's record was broken. Yeah.
That was a long-standing record, wasn't it?
You mean the high school mile?
High school mile. Let me get this kid's name right. Gary Martin from the wonderful state of Pennsylvania ran 3:57 without a pacer. Second place was like 4:18, I think. Matt, did you see the results from that? So he ran this entire race by himself, and which is, I mean, well, Matt coming from elite trackers.
He's the district champion now. That was
he did, congratulations.
He did this just in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania.
High school district meet.
Yeah. I mean, you imagine?
Only qualify for state.
You having been a coach.
Wait, you broke the national record, Matt, for the high school mile.
You being a coach.
He broke a little bit of an obscure record. The record was...
non-paced.
No, yeah, non-paced.
Because Jim Roone's record was in a pro race, wasn't it?
No, Jim Ryan... Well, so there's multiple records that Jim Ryan had, but this one was like, if you're doing a high school race, like what's the fastest, there's only been, I think, five or so sub-4-minute miles in a high school race. Mm-hmm. Total, there's been maybe like 12 now.
Wow.
High school kids.
Yeah, I think it's 12.
Somewhere in that range. And he went 3:57, so he ran fast too. And
which means he did the whole thing alone.
Yeah.
Yes. Right?
By himself.
Which means, you shove him into... Now, obviously, you can always say like, this day could he have done it. But like, if you shove him into a race... And he's got
a couple seconds faster.
He's got probably 3:55, 3:56 in him.
His high school does not have a track.
Oh my gosh.
They go to the middle school track sometimes. They go like
there's not a track in the state of Ohio or Pennsylvania, so he would have had to drive at least 8 hours to find a track. Yeah. But
they don't know what track is.
Getting better.
Yeah, no, he seems like a quality individual. Yeah. I think he's gonna go to UVA next year.
I think so. Yeah.
So that'll be fun to watch his career. Hopefully he does well.
I hope that he didn't just... I hope that we continue to hear about this kid.
Me too. And I hope he gets to do some of the fun stuff. Like there's like Prefontaine Classic where they usually have like a fast mile. I hope he gets to do some of that stuff because those races are set up to go fast. And
I just still could not imagine being that like coach sitting there. He's like, okay, he just started 58 and there goes the rest of the field. He's winning the race by 50 meters probably by that point. He is cruising at that pace.
It's a total different race.
You're
crazy.
But can he pick Axe and Hulahoe? I'm gonna sign up on my landscaping team.
I don't know. He probably could figure it out. he could at least do calf raises for you while you're working. I don't know, something.
In national news, there was a gravel race in Bentonville, Arkansas, called the Rule of Three. It's a 100-mile race, and they call it the Rule of Three because it's a third on the road, a third on gravel, and a third on single track.
Wow.
That's cool. Yeah,
so kind of cool. It was raining the whole day, so it was kind of nasty weather. But Russell Finsterwald pulled off the win, and Sofia Gomez Villafane pulled off the win.
What a combination of names there.
Yeah.
That's the most interesting.
So that was kind of big news that happened. Unbound Gravel is coming up, I believe, in 2 weeks, and so people are kind of
gearing up
for that. I don't know if you want to talk about the Mariah Wilson.
I'm glad you did because I was going to bring it up. Because it is, in the endurance world right now, this is actually the biggest news. Like, this is the only thing in the endurance world that's making
it was on the
news,
Today Show.
Yeah, I was going to say it's getting picked up by just your standard media outlets now.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So Mariah Wilson was unfortunately shot and killed a couple weeks ago after the police investigation. They have issued an arrest warrant for a gal who was Colin Strickland's girlfriend.
Yes.
And she is the alleged shooter. So
Caitlin Armstrong
is her name.
And she's like on the run. Like
she has not been arrested yet because she is on this
happening in social media times, because me and Cassie are tracking this, like, you know, and I have two friends in Colorado who know this situation decently close. This is like hour by hour type tracking. We assume she is no longer in Texas is the assumption.
We don't know.
But she could be. I don't want to say out loud what I think has probably happened.
She might not be with us anymore.
I completely agree.
It's possible.
Yeah, I think.
We'll see.
It turns out that she has been dating Colin Strickland off and on for the last 3 years. They were on a hiatus. They had broken up, and Colin had gotten together with Mariah Wilson for like a week-long fling.
And that was like a couple of years ago. Yeah.
That ended. Colin got back with this Caitlin Armstrong, and then Mariah came into Austin to get ready to go do this Gravel Locos race and ended up hanging out one night with Colin. Colin lied about it to his girlfriend.
I didn't know all this backstory.
Well, it's all in the affidavit. I like spent like an hour reading the whole affidavit.
I actually sat down and read this because I was like, I want to make sure I actually know what they say is going to happen and not reading stuff that...
He said it was completely platonic what they were doing, and just hanging out, and it's okay
from the two people I know who know her, that's not her. So I think that it's important to know and read this. There's like a lot of conclusions that can be drawn, but I think me having never met this human being, I'll trust the people I know are saying like that would not be her to do something that's, you know, whatever people want to assume. But it's clearly Caitlin Armstrong is a
psychopath
and incredibly unstable human being.
We don't know.
She cracked.
Yeah.
Or she allegedly cracked.
Yeah.
So
allegedly. Yeah.
We'll see what happens when they finally find her.
This is unfortunate that in endurance sports too. I was just talking with Kit about this. Is like the only time we make the Today Show is when stuff like this
happens.
You know, that is that sad with new like
so
like Mo Wilson would be a great story for sports and like endurance sports has so many inspiring female pro athletes that the things like the Today Show could be bringing on and being like, hey, you're winning races and doing awesome and you're 23 and empowered and winning prize money equal to men's in a sport that supports both men's and women's. Let's talk about that. Instead of only time we make the news is what? Lance Armstrong lying about drugs and somebody getting shot in a love triangle.
Also Armstrong killing people.
Yeah.
That's all that
name.
The Armstrong.
Oh my God. That name. I will tell you that's cool. That
so
name is cycling.
What do you think happens to Colin Strickland? So he's not complicit so far in any of this.
I think he needs to lay low until the dust settles.
Do you think his pro gravel career is on hiatus or is it over?
I
don't think a sponsor will touch him because this is why this story is like the type of thing that's going to have a documentary that comes out afterwards. His name's going to be recycled and there's...
But he didn't necessarily do anything wrong.
Except that he bought the weapon.
Rumors. I'm saying rumors, and I don't want to be the one who spreads rumors on here. There is talk he is way more involved with this than is initially in that affidavit.
Let the dust settle.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. This could all come out, and all those rumors could be like, no, Colin Strickland was not involved. But let's be honest, he's very close to this crime.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't think we can speculate beyond what they've said, but you know, just let the dust settle and then kind of make your decisions from there.
I just think from a sponsor point of view, regardless of what comes out right now, he's not touchable.
And he just needs to press pause on everything. I mean, which is unfortunate from his training and his racing and his personal life and his business and all that stuff. You just need to press pause, unfortunately, right now until this kind of gets sorted out.
What a strange thing. This stuff doesn't happen in sports. This is weird. It's very strange.
Yeah. Crazy. Sure. One last thing to talk about. We did have the Banana Belt race, which was here in the Portland area, our local race, road race, which we've already talked about a little bit. But the open 1-2 field was won by Max Ritzau. Second, Sean Hollenbach, and third, Zachary Kovalchuk. Max is a 21-year-old out of the Eugene area. He is a world-class cyclocross rider.
Yeah, of course
he is. So it's great to see him.
Wait, isn't Zach, was Zach the one who was at?
Nope, that's Zach Winter. He took fourth.
No. Zach, that Zach, I think, was at our time trial, wasn't he?
Zach Kovalchuk?
Yeah, he's going to beat
me
at the time
Rizzo.
Trial.
Or Max Rizzo. Yeah, it's quite possible.
No, Zach. Zach was the one who beat me at the time trial, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Zach Kovalchuk?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right, because I recognize that watched name. His last name.
Yeah, I know.
Also, shout out to our teammate Paul First, who came and done one of his first road races ever. He was in the 4-5 field, and he won handily.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, way to go,
Super
Paul.
Strong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Champ out.
Any triathlon news? Triathlon?
I already closed this down.
No.
There was Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, yeah. Jason West is really, really, really fast. That's basically it. Yeah. And Paula Findlay was second.
She was second.
She was close to Jackie Herring, won impressively. Yeah.
So that's good. Champ closed out cycling news. What about Lance Hepler? Do you have any triathlon news?
Lance Hepler out.
hold on.
I am a very competitive person. And I certainly am always motivated by doing certain things. One of them is being a triathlete, trying to be the best type of
triathlete
that I can be and try to be.
What is this interview from?
It's fake news. This is fake news.
Lance Hepler, this is deep triathlete.
This was deep fake.
That wasn't anything. That's Lance is triathlon. He's over here with you guys. So I'm on an island over here talking about cycling because Lance left me. So
that came from a public speaking engagement I gave after I received my MBA from George Fox University. That was a decade ago.
What a triathlete thing to do. 12? You get an MBA, and this is exactly what a triathlete would do, is go up there and be like, what would you like to say about your MBA? So I'm a triathlete. Let me get that straight first.
You said MBA. You meant triathlete.
Take up CrossFit now, because you can say I'm a vegan, I'm a triathlete, and I'm a CrossFitter.
like what am I here for again? Anyway, I got a race next weekend and a CrossFit competition on Sunday. Let me tell you what I had for dinner tonight.
Oh, Lance Hepler, triathlete.
That's so awesome.
All right, let's jump into our topic for today. I know that Matt's got things he's got to go do, so we're going to keep this one tweet. We're going to do a review. We've never really done a product review on here, and this one's just kind of interesting because it's getting a lot of love, and it's getting a lot of hate, and it's getting a lot of questions, and I just wanted to see what y'all had to say about it. I know that Evan's going to have all the things to say about it.
Oh, I got so many hard opinions on this thing that I have not tried yet.
But this past week, Garmin came out with their new Varia RTC 715, and the RTC standing for rearview
radar
camera and taillight.
Radar camera taillight, yeah.
Yep. So this is a neat little device. It's got the built-in video camera in there. It's got the radar. It's got the taillight, just like we just said. And it does all of these things good, but how good? So that's the question I have for you guys is, they virtually doubled the price of the unit to encompass a camera now.
Yep.
And I want to know from you guys what your thoughts are on this, if it's worth the $400. That's what these things are going for, is $399.99. And it's got a lot of ups and downs and all arounds. DC Rainmaker
blasted it.
Well, he more so blasted the app. And he was just okay with the unit.
Stand safe is not cheap, okay? Okay. You better be upper middle class if you're going to be safe on the road.
I think that was not a glowing review from him. That was a slam. I think he called it a
hot garbage or dumpster fire. He did something like that.
Said both those things.
Yeah.
But
now, is that an insult though, or is that?
I think he saves those for certain types of products.
So. To use one of these, it's just like the old radar. They work with your head unit. If you're using, it works with a Hammerhead. It works with the Wahoo. It works with, obviously, Garmin.
Have you been testing the Hammerhead? This is totally off subject.
I still have a brand new one in the box. I haven't even opened it up yet.
Oh, you can borrow mine. You don't have to. We don't have to open it.
No, I bought one because I want to play with it. But I appreciate that. But I will take that out of the box and open it up and play with it. But
I don't want your hot garbage.
Good device.
Matt.
Okay. Good device.
No sloppy seconds, Matt. Sorry, bud.
We love the radar. We've all been using the radar for a couple years. It's hard for me to go out on a road ride without the radar because I've become so accustomed to being able to look at my head unit and getting warnings that there's cars behind me and how many cars are behind me. I love writing this. This was supposed to be a fantastic update with a camera.
It's what we all wanted.
It's what we all wanted.
We all saw the, what was the Cyclic? The
Cyclic, yeah.
Cyclic, okay.
So whatever it's called, yeah.
There's another brand called Cyclic, and I would say questionable customer service, questionable. I mean, the product was okay, functional. But and a lot of people really do like that product, but it's it was interesting. So you have this camera and a taillight built in, and then all of us were just obsessed with the radar because we love the Garmin radar product. So we're like, when are they going to integrate a camera? And we've been saying that for
five years. We've been talking about it on the podcast before, too, like probably like 2 years ago. Like hey, what's some tech that we want to see? Like put a freaking camera inside your Garmin taillight. Yeah. So, and they had the Verb, and they
did it.
So Garmin did it last week.
Thank you, Garmin.
They did it.
So let's talk about
too quickly.
could be better, but they did it.
Let's talk about the cons of this thing first. Okay. I don't want to get into the good stuff first. The app. Yeah. App sucks.
It has its own unique app that connects to the unit.
Yeah.
And what sucks most about the app is trying to view video clips from the unit on the app. Because it connects by Bluetooth. Or its own...
It's a Wi-Fi,
It's
actually.
A Wi-Fi
It does.
Thing.
It does both. So it connects Bluetooth for majority of the stuff, but if you need to access a clip, it's over Wi-Fi because those are going to be faster download times. Not that they're fast.
Yeah, like a 30-second clip might take 2 or 3 minutes to download for you to see it. Yeah.
We need to spice this up a little bit. Matt, did you help design this
yes.
app?
Yes.
That's damning.
I'm in charge.
Oh, my gosh.
It was all me.
this is why he's getting so sweaty over here right now.
The app is good, guys.
No, guys, it's great.
Yep, the app is good.
No, I bet that designer stayed up really late to make sure that unreasonable timeline was met.
So that part kind of sucks, but I mean, what about just... basic user settings. Was that an okay experience for you?
For me, the user settings seemed to be pretty straightforward and okay.
But what about for me?
I turned on... No. So in
that's all we need to know.
In the user settings of this new radar, you can do things like have your GPS location overlaid over your video, like baked into the video, and your speed
and
baked
your speed.
In, and one more item. I can't remember what it is. There's one more item in there that you can bake into the video file, so which is nice. Maybe like time of day or something. I don't remember. But yeah, so I turn on all of that stuff because, you know, if you get hit by a car, it's nice to be like, here's the location. Here's the speed I was going. You know, here's all the details that we know of baked into this video file of this car hitting me. So I think that they have some very good settings in this particular device. I mean, I should be talking about the negatives because I think that's what Jake wanted us to do. But I think the biggest one, you know, Lance mentioned selecting files. First of all, they've got their own naming convention for files, and it's basically just kind of like the date in the file.
Yes, because some files are locked, and some files are unlocked,
right.
And some are overwritten, and some have an incident.
Right. So, if the item hits a significant bump or detects an incident, which we think might be a little bit oversensitive, it takes that particular clip. And let's say it's a 30-second clip, and it moves it into a separate folder, and it flags it, and it does not overwrite it.
Correct.
There's only... I'm losing my mind here. I feel like there's only like a... Is it 16 gig
16
card?
16-gigabyte card.
There's only a 16-gig card in here, and so you can switch that out. But otherwise, all those files do get overwritten as the new files get created. So 30-second clips, if you think about it, you might have like 100 of those 30-second clips, and then it starts back over at one. It's going to overwrite those clips.
Unless it's been locked.
You can save and lock files or whatever. And so... the naming convention is a bit clunky. There's also a setting in here where you can actually say like, hey, I want, it actually shows you can choose between a minute and 30 and 5 minutes for your particular video length clips,
yes.
Which would be great because 5 minutes would be better. You might not have to sift through 100 of them. However, as far as I can tell, that setting does not work. It only sends 30-second clips, which isn't even one of the options.
I've run across the same thing. I set mine to 5 minutes, and it's still not recording in 5 minutes.
Lance went back, and he showed me his after we were first setting it up and testing it with it, and it's got all these 30-second clips. I'm like, didn't you set that to 5 minutes? He's like, I thought I did.
Yeah. Everyone I've talked to is like, yep, 30 seconds is what you get. So that's
one con.
The good news on that particular issue is, you know, and a lot of these are software updates. They should happen.
Yeah,
we think.
Yeah. The other big con is that it is not an action camera, which means it doesn't have image stabilization.
Right.
Every GoPro that we have now, from I think version 6 on has image stabilization. We're now at a GoPro 10. This does not have image stabilization.
Did you use this on a gravel ride by chance?
I did not.
Okay, because I've only used it on the road. I'd be curious to see if it's just unusable on a gravel ride.
On a gravel ride.
Which maybe you're not dealing with that much traffic. I mean, maybe that's fine, but on the road, it was just a little jittery. I could still make out license plates.
Yes. So that's one of the cons. There's no image stabilization.
It should be.
And it's only a 1080p camera.
30 frames per second. I think it's fine. It would have been nice if it was 1080p stabilized. I think that would have been like, that would have been the sweet spot. They're not going to do 4K in this. That doesn't make sense, right? Because your battery life would be...
No, if they went like 2.7 and then like image stabilized down to 1080p or something like that.
Yeah, they could probably even do less than 2.7 because that's a big crop down to 1080p. But I think 1080p is fine for ending resolution.
1440 or something.
Yeah, 1440 would be. But I think like even with that, you know, with 1080p, like you're going to be able to pull out clips of your friend flicking you off behind your bike.
I had it on the flogging ride this last weekend, and there was tons of clips of the people behind me that actually
didn't look bad. I mean, if you put it up on a big screen and like blew it up a little bit, it's going to look a little grainy. But if you had it like on a small screen or you shrunk the screen down a little bit, it looks just fine.
It's going to have all the same standard like action camera style looks to it, where it's going to be over sharpened and over processed, over saturated. It's not going to look great, but that's not what it's supposed to be for. It's supposed to be.
It's a safety.
Catch a license plate
device.
You know, kind of situation.
Does it work for Strava pictures though? Would you post one of those to Strava?
Sure.
Perfect. That's all that matters then.
But
you guys are complaining about.
But getting the picture off is not quick or easy.
Well, you know what? You just have to take the SD card out, and I'll get to that in just a second. And then you have to throw it in your computer, and then you have to use a different thing. Now,
exactly.
How they have the little micro SD card in there? That's a turd burglar on rye right there, my friends. That thing. It's not easy. Like at first you're trying to figure out how to get the damn thing to flip open, but it basically it's laying down flat there. So you have to push it up and then it folds out and then you can pull the micro SD card. I'm like, this is just an accident waiting to happen.
And it's behind, you know, basically one of those, covers that you kind of use a coin to open up, which reminds me a lot of like
that's your SIM card on your phone, right?
Yeah. Or like, you know how you change out the battery of your power meter?
Yeah.
A lot of times it'll have that. And I'm like, that's fine for once every 3 months.
Yeah.
But like, I kind of want, if I want to use this footage, which maybe I don't, but like maybe I do, you know, I want easy access to the SD card. I want to just be able to like push it in and it pops out.
Yep.
Just like a standard action, any other camera. And I'm the type that likes to take the card and plug it into the computer and then sift through the files or whatever I need to do, not connect with the phone because that is nasty.
It's almost unusable. If to look at footage from the phone app is because you don't have any other option.
Right.
It's like, it's going to be so slow that it's almost unusable.
It's like Bluetooth connected to the device, and then all of a sudden you deal with this Wi-Fi setup process, and you're like, click on that, doesn't work. Click on that again. Oh, it does work now. And then sift through a whole bunch of files, then offload those back to your phone. Then you have, I mean, it's just like,
it's a laborious process.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Insta360, you've got GoPro, you've got all these different action camera companies that have much bigger files, and you're able to connect to those and download them
faster.
Reasonably quick. I can probably download a GoPro file faster, and that's like a 8.5 minute file.
I mean,
faster
GoPro,
than a 30
GoPro
second.
As long as you want it to be, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, I think it defaults to 8 minutes and change. So,
when it does a little recycle,
exactly.
Yep.
So that was kind of a swing and a miss. It's not terrible. Like you said, like the back when you're taking the key door thing off, mine's already got a little bit of a mar to it. You know, I've only taken it off one time. I'm like, all right, this
you're
is
like, dang
not
it.
Sustainable.
I know.
But we'll see. I mean, I'm sure that that's a part that can be replaced. And that might be one of those things where if they get enough complaints about it, maybe they send out something new that's a different setup. I mean, they've done that before. I mean, they did with the Vector 3 pedals.
Yes.
They had all kinds of issues with the battery doors. And they were sending out all kinds of new hardware for people to put in there so that it solved the problems.
I think the next version of this radar will have a different access to that particular micro SD card.
Yep.
And I think that they'll be able to iterate on the software to fix a lot of those issues. So I don't foresee them like making major changes to the hardware side of this thing currently.
How about
for a while.
Insta360. They're a good little action camera. They've got their little Go 2. It's a little tiny camera. I mean, it is small. and it shoots at 2.7, I think, K. And it's teeny tiny, and granted, it's got internal storage, and it only holds, I think, up to a half an hour's worth of footage, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. But if you could figure out a way to put a little card in that, you know, what I'm getting at is you've got much better quality. You've got a tiny camera. It can
stabilized.
It can shoot a lot wider. It's not 360, but it's like, what, 270 degrees or something like that. You get a pretty big really field wide. Of view. Like, Garmin, why can't you come up with this? You've had your action camera. The Verb, which has gone away since. I mean, you could have done better with the camera. I mean, again, Lance and I, we were, the first time that we pulled up video of this, we're expecting it to be just horrific. And we put the SD card in the computer and pulled it up. I'm like, oh, that's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
I mean, it's usable. I mean, you can see everything that you want to see. It's not stabilized, but you know, when Lance wasn't out of the saddle trying to win a sprint little stop ahead sign or something like that, the video footage was fine. I mean, it looked good. I mean, you can make out license plates. So, but they could have done so much better with that camera.
I think they could have. And I think for them, it was really this balance of like, hey, let's bring this to market. And let's also, and I don't know because I haven't like talked to them about this, but this is my theory is that like, let's bring this to market as a safety camera. And if people want action camera from it, that's a, you know, we're not going that route because we don't want to compete with Insta360. We don't want to compete with GoPro. Yeah. We don't want to be an action camera because they just left that market, right? That's my theory.
Yeah, but it could have been and could have made that many more people happy.
I mean, I think they will iterate on this device and I think they'll get there. I completely disagree with Ray calling it a dumpster fire because I still would recommend this device to people.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Sure. Any other vices about that? She's a little girthy there, buddy. She's thick.
It's roughly twice as thick and twice as heavy as the previous version.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So it's a little taller.
Is my safety worth that?
No.
1.5 seconds. No one cares
about your safety.
On training rides, it's not that big a deal.
It's not
odds of Mike Guyvan using this on a KOM attempt.
No, you take
throwing that in the bushes with his water bottles.
I think everything his
bike weighs less than this. Actually, I think.
The unit as well as the
that
mounting
is really heavy.
Well, the unit
that's
is
significantly heavy.
Along with the mounting hardware is just under 0.5 pound.
Yeah, no.
But the mounting. Oh, we should mention that the mounting is different than the.
It's different than before.
Than
it is much
Mine
more solid
fine,
and
yeah.
much better.
It's much more solid and much better, but heavier. It's not going to just fit on any sort of standard quarter turn mount that they use. The Garmin standard mount.
No, it's a completely different matter.
It's a completely different mount, and it's a smaller. It kind of looks like, because I actually thought, like looking at it, that it was just like the same thing, but a little bit more polished. It's actually a smaller little mount piece.
Yeah.
So it's just not going to work with your old stuff if that's something that you care about, which hopefully you don't. I do see on yours that you do have a little mark. Oh, killing me. Actually, I think, does it lock the other way?
I don't know.
Might need to be twisted currently. But anyway, it's not perfect. And we were so excited about this device. And I think all of us were, this was like the dream product. And we're like, oh, dang it. They hit the ball, but it's not a home run. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Now,
would you say it was a single? They hit like a
double? Maybe double.
Or maybe they ground out and advance the guy to second is roughly what
sacrifice,
happened.
Sacrifice.
I don't know.
He's in scoring position, but it was a crap hit. Yeah,
did they change anything on the radar? Is that technology exactly the same?
As far as I know, it's very, very similar.
So I feel like it might be a little bit more sensitive. Not a bad thing, but I feel like it's picking up things a little bit more easily.
Here's my guess is that the position of the radar is placed better.
Oh.
Because the mount has got a better angle to
it.
And that's just my guess.
Gotcha. But I feel like it's picking up things that, I mean, the current iteration, the 515.
That's what you had
before this.
With the Bluetooth.
Sometimes it would pick up cyclists behind me and sometimes it wouldn't. Yeah. This one, I feel like it's picking up cyclists all the time. So I don't know if that's going to be a false positive, or if that's what you want to call that.
Sure.
But I mean, it's still picking up stuff back there, but it's definitely picking up cars very, very well.
The idea is that it should pick up anything that is overtaking you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if a single cyclist is coming up behind you and overtaking you, it's going to pick it up. It's going to pick up a motorcycle. It's going to pick up a car. It's going to pick up any vehicle.
So if you're in a baseline, is that thing just going to be beeping at you the entire time?
No, because it's going the same speed as you.
Oh, it's got to be a single thing.
No, not necessarily. But if you're all in a pace line and you're all moving roughly at the same rate, it doesn't pick it up.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
But
it is.
It works.
The radar works really well.
The radar works great.
Is there?
You have a radar of some sort, right? Okay.
I have the original variant.
So same.
You don't have the original.
I don't.
Anything else? Whatever.
You have the 510 or the 515, I bet.
Yeah, it's whatever. Yeah.
It looks like this, but thinner.
Yes, yeah. Quite. It's very light.
The oldest one was like this wide one, actually. It didn't sit this way. It sat this way.
Oh, and it okay. No, I did not
actually
have
actually cool. I really like that one.
I had that one. It looked like this, just much smaller, lighter.
Anything else that you guys don't like about this guy? The 715.
It's $400.
I mean, I think like those buttons on the side, they're very odd. They don't really give you good, clear indication of like what's really happening. Like, you press this. Is it recording?
One's a power button, and I want to save a clip button.
Right. One's power and sifting through the light modes.
Yes.
Although sometimes when you get to the end of the mode, it kind of just turns the whole thing off, as opposed to like you think you just have to hold it down. I don't know. It's a little bit confusing. And then this one, I think, does Bluetooth and recording, the small button. And it's very odd. Like, is it recording? Then you get this red light indicator. I think it's recording. And then you look on your phone. Well, that says it's not recording. It doesn't all work together as it should. So
true.
All right. Let's talk about the things that we do like about this.
Okay. It's got a camera, safety camera.
It is as a safety device, it's fantastic.
Yep,
100%.
It's got radar, and you're going to record stuff that happens behind you that you weren't recording before, and you don't always need that kind of footage, but when you do need it, it can be very critical that you have it.
So a lot of people are going to say, well, why would I go spend $400 on it? And I could just use my current one that I spent $200 on, and I can go buy an old used Hero 8 GoPro that's going to be roughly $200 to $250.
Yes, you could do that.
You can do that, and you're going to get a better camera. But the downside is it's two different things. You're going to have batteries with you, because the GoPro is going to last for about an hour, maybe an hour and 5 minutes. Yep. And
this battery should last 4 to 7 hours.
Right.
Yep. But a GoPro will only run for an hour on a battery.
An hour and 10 minutes sometimes, depending upon what setting you have it at.
Yeah. If you're getting the old, cheaper ones, you're not getting an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah,
probably.
That's true.
Well, you don't have to be shooting at 4K either. I mean, you can dumb it down or make it a little bit longer.
You can go 1080p and match the Varia.
Yeah. So, I mean, for what it's worth, there's just something to be said about having to grab one device, just having to charge one device, and always having it there to do what it's supposed to do. It's not going to be an action camera that we're going to want to use for making like a high quality video, but you can still grab video from it that's going to be perfectly serviceable. And, you know, sometimes it looks a little funny when a GoPro is trying to stabilize somebody when they're doing a sprint, and like you can see like a weird like wobble to it, and you're like throwing the bike quite a bit of degrees to the left and the right, and that looks a little funky, where this one, you're looking at it and you actually see the full tilt. Now that might make you a little motion sick, but you can see what the heck's going on.
My thought is this video footage is to give to the police at some point.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
That's what it's for.
It's so they can either investigate something, or that there's actual footage that you can use in court if you need it.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Unfortunately, like usual, they can choose not to care.
Yes.
And I did step out for a second. You guys probably talked about the stamp on there with the date and the time and the speed.
There's a date stamp. It's a date and time stamp, and GPS. Then you can put GPS coordinates
in there,
and speed.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's 100% admissible or if that makes a difference or whatever, but I mean,
that's a great question.
Yeah.
I would imagine that it would be admissible in court. I don't know.
Random, but I actually think it is, only because I've been tracking the, did you guys see the case with the cyclist who got hit by the school bus?
Oh.
Did you see that?
No.
So, on those cyclists.
This was St. George, wasn't it?
Maybe I should forget the city, but
I think it was St. George.
It might have been. So it was
brothers?
No.
Different
one
case.
One cyclist hit by a school bus, actually. But the school bus cameras have date and times with them, and that is how they're prosecuted. They know the exact date and time from that, because the cyclist did not have a camera on them.
Gotcha.
But the school bus does. So there's a recording of literally this school bus not even attempting to get, literally running over this cyclist.
Oh.
Love the journalism for this. In the article that was originally written, the journalist put, there have been no charges cited against the bus driver or the cyclist for this incident, and no children were injured. The comment section after that was hilarious. There's so many cyclists be like, oh, thank God no children were harmed in the killing of a cyclist, basically. It's like, you freaking kidding me? Yeah. Guy's like rushed to the hospital. He survived. I mean, like, you got to be kidding. Like, that's how that's reported.
Yeah.
But yes, that is admissible, because that's what they were saying.
Gotcha. So that's kind of a neat feature. I mean, you're not going to want that in there if you're trying to use it for something else. But, you know, maybe I can see exactly where I was at and what time it was and how fast it was going when Lance was flipping me off. But, I mean.
How hardy is this? Yeah. Like, reasonable question. If you got run over by a bus, would this thing survive, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, as long as the memory card doesn't get
compromised.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could take it from even the crushed Varia. You could take it. Yeah. All right.
I mean, they're pretty bulletproof. I mean, I've dropped mine. Other one, the 515, a million times. I don't know how much more sensitive this one is, but
we should mention that there is no lens protection on this, and so this is one of those things where maybe some sort of lens cover. Maybe we even, you know, the plastic piece that comes on this. Maybe people should leave those plastic pieces on. I have no idea. I didn't think about that until, you know, you start thinking about like, okay, these things do get dropped.
Oh yeah.
You also have gravel cyclists where basically the wheel is
rocks
kicking,
can get shot that thing,
kicking things up here.
Yep.
That's I think DC Llama had that issue.
Did he get a scratched lens?
He got a scratched lens.
Because there's no way to replace this lens. There's no. That's like correct. On a GoPro, you can just pop it right off.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can get the diameter of that. Well, I don't think they're going to make anything specific to it. The watches, the watch companies, could you purchase one of those ones that goes on a watch and cut it down and put it on there just as a means of protecting it?
I don't know how easy it is to cut those pieces of Gorilla Glass or whatever. It's probably not Gorilla Glass they use. They probably use something cheaper.
Sure.
I feel like maybe I'm going to go home and see if I have the little plastic piece that I peel off. Because whenever I peel off these things for products, I'm always like, peel this off, kind of put it on the box to save the little plastic piece for some reason. Who knows what I would use it for. But like, that's where I put things. And I'm going to go back and I might grab that plastic piece and put it on there and then look at the camera quality and see if it kills the camera quality.
I doubt it does.
It's probably not. Because if things are super close to a lens, you don't usually pick it up.
Yeah.
Although this one is like,
go make one, F-16. Put it on Amazon, bring it to market, make a few bucks.
Yeah.
There you go.
Someone needs to do that. Let us know. We'll buy.
The light on it works really well. Just like the old one, it's super bright. It's got, you know, lumens that you can see for quite a ways away.
The light is as good of a tail light as you'll find anywhere on the market.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I do.
Hot take.
I know what you think.
Hot take from Lance Hepler right there.
I mean, if we're talking like, I mean, Garmin says you can see it up to a mile away. That's a long way.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous.
And, you know, it can go from a solid state to a flashing mode, so it kind of catches the motorist's eyes. And again, we've talked about this before, but other cyclists who don't have a radar with them and don't have, you know, anything to warn them of a car coming, they can pay attention to your light as long as you let them know what it's doing and why it's doing it. It'll go from solid to flashing and they'll know, oh, a car's coming.
Max lumens, depending on like which, there's like lots of different settings for this, but max lumens is only like, I want to say 68 or something like that. Lance, the lights that you tested in downtown Vancouver were more like 200 lumens. So I wouldn't say it's the best or as good as anything else
that
you've tested.
Mr. Hepler?
You tested so many lights.
Matt LeGrand is correct.
But and then Jake, you tested a front light.
He even knew the number thing.
tested a front light that was like 1,000 lumens that like lit up the night sky, right?
4,000 lumens.
4,000 lumens.
Now, it burned the backs of people's heads. I mean, seared the...
Could that cause an accident by blinding the person behind you?
Evan Price, it's us against the cars, okay? We are trying to hurt them.
I am in constant war with car culture, Matt, okay? By asking if they're okay, so...
Actually, you need a hug.
You need a hug, man.
If I'm riding in a group and I've got my Varia radar on and it's dusk and we're all together, I tend to turn the light off because it's too bright.
Yeah.
It annoys the people behind you, especially if you're off-road. Mm-hmm. But when they do have a Peloton setting, which is
like
not
kind of solid, always on, right?
It's not as bright.
And then it blinks when cars come by.
Correct.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's I think what I like.
That's
as
actually
well.
A really
That's
cool
what I
setting.
To use.
Good job, Varia. Point for Varia.
Point Varia.
Point for
it also is USB-C.
USB-C.
Yes.
That's important.
So much better. So much easier to use.
That tells me that better things are coming down the pipeline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From Garmin. Yeah. Finally, you guys.
I can imagine that going forward, I mean, I don't know because I don't have any inside info, but I would guess that future bike computers from Garmin, which they are overdue for, they haven't had a new computer in like 3 years. I would guess all of that would be USB-C. If it's not,
hot take.
Garmin, what are you doing?
Come on, Garmin.
We'll find out.
Dumpster fire.
We'll find out. No, they're done with the dumpster fires. Please, Garmin.
It does record sound as well. There's a microphone on it, which is also very helpful.
Yeah.
Like,
so they can hear you absolutely cussing out whoever just hit
you
in the car.
Or if you want to remember something, like somebody cuts you off in front of you, you can like, you could yell out the license plate number and it'll be recorded.
Oh, I've heard people do that in videos where they yell that.
That's actually a good call.
Yeah. Very smart.
Yeah,
Jim O'Brien, he did that with his Cyclique. He went back to get the footage, and he couldn't like couldn't make it out. But he had the forethought to, you know, basically when the car went by, he just said it out loud what the license plate number was, and it picked it up on the audio.
Smart.
So that's
did anything play. Come from that?
I don't know what the end result
he commented on my video, and just such a nice guy, like talking about like, okay, you know, what do you think about this compared to cyclic, because he has both the front and the rear.
Yep,
such a cool person. And you know, I think it's cool that he's got like a really good experience with the cyclic stuff, and I kind of want to pick his brain on it.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, we'll have to ask him.
Yep.
Come to the gravel ride on Tuesday night. He RSVP'd to that.
I'll be there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You do all the gravel stuff, right?
Just mountain bike it with my bum leg.
Yeah. We can ride outside in the foul weather when it's raining with these and not have to worry about it.
Correct.
So that's good. It's true. It was the same thing with the old one, but you know, you've got new hardware in there and maybe that would be a concern. No, it still works just fine
still
there.
Still good.
The mount, we kind of already talked about it, but that mount is pretty bulletproof.
It's beefy.
It's solid.
It's not, more solid.
Yeah.
Much better.
The rubber band thing that they use is just not one of those cheesy silicone rubber band things that goes around. I mean, it's an actual like webbed deal that wraps all around the seat post. And
it is unique and proprietary, so don't lose them.
Yeah.
But you
probably cost $50 to get a new one.
But they're way better than the other ones. Yeah.
And the way that it locks in there, it's nice and solid. So it's not coming off your bike, even though the other one, I never had a single issue with it. It still kind of in the back of your head, you're like, I wonder if that's ever going to come off.
The only problem I had was it was hard to fit on the Time Machine TT seat post.
They come with aero seat post.
They have them, but the problem is like the rubber band's like just stretchy enough to get around, but we're talking like just it shifts and moves
barely.
A little bit. I mean, we're talking like, when it's on there on my TT bike, I am having this, I'm like, if I had a good solid bump, this thing is flying off.
I think that the attachment that comes with it now is going to work much better for you.
There's three attachment types for seat posts as opposed to before when I think it was two.
An arrow, a circular, and then a semicircular, the one I have on the BMC, which fits
a flat
pretty nicely.
One.
Like that one fits pretty nicely. Yeah, the semicircle.
Which works better than what I had before. So.
On the SLR is where it by far is the most secure. Like, I'm not worried about it at all.
Yeah.
On the SLR.
They've got one that's, the D-shaped one works really well. SLR. So, anything else that you guys really like about this guy?
I tell you, I think the real question is, are you going to use it? Are you going to switch to it and use it?
Well, absolutely.
I agree.
I agree too. Like, I mean,
all of us.
I'm going to use it every time I ride on my road bike, unless I'm racing.
What if you're doing a 6-hour ride?
Yes, I'm going to put it on there.
What are you going to do when it dies?
What if you're chasing a climbing KOM?
Then.
How often does that happen for you?
For me?
All of the time.
It doesn't happen. Not
so
climbing KOMs.
Six-hour ride,
It never happens. But I'm gonna use it every time. The safety factors are worth it to me. The weight, even though the camera doesn't work as well, it is worth it to me to use it every time I train on my bike. If I'm racing, no, you don't. I mean, I take my saddlebag off when I'm racing.
Yeah.
Racing.
Don't you want to turn into the cops though? That guy that like bumps you in the sprint and be like, "Can you see this a-hole behind me? I got video evidence. this guy
definitely
cut my
could.
Line."
I think I will do the same, and it's just a matter of like in. Even before I was charging this thing up after every single ride.
Mm-hmm.
Now you definitely like if you miss a charge up,
it's got to be charged.
It's dead.
Yeah,
and none of us like riding without this thing. And so, one of my friends just asked me if they could borrow one of my radars because they're starting to have battery issues with theirs. And I'm like, yes, you can long term borrow it, but I might need it back because it might be one of those things where like this is dead and I still do not want to ride without a radar.
Yeah.
Like I just don't want to do it. So.
You just hit on a point that we should have made too. For $400, would you expect them to have a battery that could at least be changed out on our own? I mean, it doesn't
That's
have to be.
The point.
I mean, for $400, the batteries on these things last for a good time. I mean, a lot of cycles, but they start to.
After 2 years, they're starting to look a little less chipper.
Yeah.
I would say that's an issue across the industry. Like your watch, same lithium ion batteries.
Yep.
It's not going to, after a couple of years, and we spend a lot of money on these watches, and it's like we would love to have access to a way to change the battery out.
Correct.
And this is no different. Bike computers, no different. Like how much money do you want to spend? Like maybe we should only be spending $100, $200 on these devices if we have to change them out every 2 years. Whereas I might be willing to spend $400, $600 on these devices if I know I can make them last a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So battery changing is a huge issue, and I think that's a really good point. Wish I had brought it up in my video. Lost opportunity. I did mention battery changing in some video recently. Yeah. I don't remember what it was, though.
No, it's, but to go back to the original question of, like, am I going to use this? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of a weight penalty, but I'm already that guy that's got two cameras on my bike all the time.
Right.
Anyway, so like, what's another 100 grams or something?
I think we're biased because, like, we have access to this at a, you know, that other people might not. I think $400 might be, the way I would describe it is like, hey, some people, $400 is not a big deal. Like, great, pick it up, go for it. Whereas some people are saving for weddings. They just lost their job.
I will.
See? He's eating out of a bag of chips, guys.
I know, right?
He's got nothing. He has nothing.
He's a quote-unquote entrepreneur now. We know what that means. Have you seen The Bachelor? We know what that means.
Yeah. But like, if you, and he already has a radar device, it's like, well, yeah, don't go buying, you know, the 400 when you already have one that works.
I mean, like, for you guys are an easy sell on this one. If I'm trying to sell Varias, I'm a really hard sell on this. I'm not going to get this. No. $400 is way too freaking expensive.
I mean,
for that.
I would say, like, when you replace your radar, maybe then
yes,
that would be the
I would consider something like this after a few generations, and it's probably going to end on a good one at some point. I'll consider it, but not
maybe.
This one.
No. Garmin is still making the ones without a camera, so you could still replace
and
one.
Yeah, doesn't love it. Yeah,
yeah,
it's great.
Well, you could replace it, but I just think,
I mean,
like,
especially with late evening rides, that's like a huge saver for me because that's always something in the past. I used to wear reflective vests when I rode in Ada, like during the winter when it would get really, really cold late, just because my flashing light on the back, I had friends of mine tell me, like, that's pretty blinding. I'm like, oh, I'll put it on the front and just wear a big reflective vest. Yeah. And this is way more useful than that. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I think that, you know, as people listen to the podcast, you know, recognize the fact that, like, I'm, you know, when Garmin puts something out, I'm going to try to get a hold of it somehow, some way, because I want to test it for things. And then, yeah, I've got stuff. Like, so I don't know if I'm the best person to ask, like, would you buy this? Because the answer is going to be, well, yeah, because I want to test it. Yeah. But would I recommend other people buy it? And the answer is, not 100% of the time.
There's something new to buy like every couple months from Garmin. Yeah. I mean, like, it's like, is this the ground shaking thing that like everybody needs to get? No, probably not, right?
If you're a road cyclist who lives in an area where there's a fair amount of traffic and cars, and even if there's good bike lanes or not, I mean,
having the camera is good. Yeah. It's just also, I mean,
if you're going to ride on the road at any point in time, I highly recommend that you have a radar at a minimum. I mean, that's
I agree.
I don't think anybody disagrees with that. But if you're going to be riding in an area where there are cars and you have the chance of having some sort of a run-in, I 100% think that this is going to be a great purchase for somebody. It's a little on the pricey side. So if that gets to be a little expensive, then maybe consider, you know, just running with a regular radar, and maybe consider going and finding a super cheap GoPro, or there's these like knockoff action cameras.
I saw knockoff GoPros for $50 and I picked one up and I haven't tested it yet. I'm like super interested to see what it can do.
It can't be much worse than the camera that's in there. And if you're okay with like having to pull over like every hour and put a new battery in there and keeping a few batteries with you, then maybe that's your jam. I mean, you can just put a big SD card in there, micro SD card, and get all of your video and then just wipe it before your next ride and go. I mean,
it's more
cheaper.
Work, right? It's more work. And,
I mean,
and this is an easy solution.
Yes.
If you're somebody though that like the $800 road bike was as much as you can do, which is a good portion of people, we are the less than 0.1%.
Yep.
I think a good solid little rearview mirror on the side of your helmet is absolutely perfect personally. Yeah. There's your radar and just get good at riding safe into the right.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think
because there's a bottom line. I mean, like we know this, we hear this story over and over, and this is just me being tired from being in the Midwest and hearing people get hit all the time and zero charges. Zero. Never in my entire history, multiple people we knew died in Ohio.
So
not a single charge.
You're hitting
on
one of my things here. Is like this is a great way for cyclists to advocate for themselves because we're going to capture so much more information because you're going to have a camera with you if you have one of these. Yeah. Something's better than nothing, in my opinion. And
I agree. I would just love to see stuff like this actually start to make a difference there. It'd be nice.
Maybe it can. I mean, if you've got video footage.
The last two stories I've seen, unfortunately. We had two stories recently with video footage. Neither one is coming of. The EMJ guy who got run over by the truck, still that case is still impending. So, I mean, we're talking like this stuff is awesome and I hope it makes a change, but it's really sad that we need to be literally video recording these moments of somebody trying to kill us for us to be like, hey, can we like start charging this like attempted murder? Cause that's what it is. Instead of them just being like, oh, I don't know. You know, the cyclist is laying dead on the side of the road and the car hit him and all that. But you know, the cyclist might've gotten in his way. That's like literally the argument we're having now.
It kind of falls in the same vein of like, police brutality. I don't want to get into that
scope
of things, but now that they're wearing body cameras, that's making a big difference, and things are happening. So let's hope that we can walk that same.
Be awesome if that could. I would change.
So I think that I'm in agreement 100%. I just think like I want this product on more bikes.
It needs to be more affordable.
Oh, yeah. $400. Like I want Garmin to basically be like, we're going to take a hit on this product and we're going to sell it for $300.
Are you telling me that a big company would try to profit off of something that is necessary for people's safety?
I want them
safety?
To be like, hey, we're going to slice our profit margins because we believe that this is going to save lives. That's what I want to happen. I know it's not going to happen.
Matt, you are a dreamer. Okay.
Dream.
That is
dream. Right. You got to dream. Dream big.
I mean, there's songs about what you are, Matt, and they don't end well. So,
never do.
And then the last thing is just what are some changes that you want to see in the next version of this?
I think, okay, so if this was a battery door, so you could replace the battery, that'd be great, as opposed to an SD door. And I think somehow you had something like this to flip open. And I should be explaining what I'm doing when I actually talk about this stuff. The battery door is that weird turning thing that I've already complained about. I'm sorry, the SD door is the weird thing that I complained about before. It kind of looks like a battery door. If that was a replaceable battery, that would be fantastic. The USB charging port is basically kind of has like this little rubbery door to it. If that had access to the SD card itself, like you could just kind of have that.
And
there,
that's what you see in a lot of like
action cameras.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is weather sealed or whatever, and you're good.
Those two changes would make me so happy from like a hardware side. And then I do think that the software side will just get better without us.
Yeah. Do you think that they can make it weigh less? I mean, you've got a big radar unit in there. You've got a battery in there. You've got an action camera in there. You've got the circuitry in there.
Yes. So in my video, I feel a bit dumb about this, but I complained about the weight and the battery life. And I think it's like, okay, you can't complain about both of those. You choose. You choose one and you say, like, would you take on more weight if it gave you double the battery life?
Yep.
And I think I probably would.
Yep.
If it was, you know, we would all be a little bit annoyed if this was twice as big as this massive thing already.
Yeah.
But if it gave you, you know, 8 to 12 hours of battery life, I'd be like, oh, that's pretty impressive.
Do you think they could possibly incorporate solar into it somehow, some way?
I don't expect that.
Well, do you think that's even like something that could be done? I mean, sure, anything could be done, but
it's possible. I just don't. Okay, so there's two things. There's a couple things. First of all, it's on the back of the bike. It's a weird spot to hope to get solar, whereas like a bike computer that's nice sitting flat out right in front of the sun, that seems like a much better location. And then, you know, you'd need a good bit of area, and I don't know if this has that. And then lastly, you don't end up getting that much benefit to the solar charging. You'll get like minutes and stuff, but you're not going to get like double the battery life.
Well, the reason why I ask is because watches, there's a lot of Garmin watches now that have a little bezel that goes around there. It's not very big. But you're extending the battery life. But granted, the battery on these is much smaller and it doesn't take quite as much to run these things. But I mean, if you've got a little bit more real estate on that, maybe you had band that went around it.
The problem is the light itself, not even the camera, the light draws so much energy from these things. And then on the watches, it looks like they just have a little ring around the watch, but it's actually, that's the part that's going to accept like 100% of solar.
Yep.
And then underneath the actual, the actual whatever display itself is getting a significantly less amount of solar. It's like a 20% effective solar panel piece there. And so that, and then watches just draw so much less energy than this thing.
Sure.
So it does help on watches, but even then, you know, you're not getting like a massive bump in battery life for the solar watches. There are some watches like the Garmin Instinct watch that will, you literally can just wear it out in the sun and stuff like that, and you will never have to charge the watch. But a lot of that is just because it's a monochrome display and it just doesn't draw very much energy.
Sure.
So,
cool.
Energy out, basically. I think it's energy in, energy out kind of situation.
Gotcha. Anything change wise for you, Lance?
I just want image stabilization.
Yeah, that would be a little bit better camera.
Yeah, great. Better camera.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
And I think if it did have like a 2.7K.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if it's absolutely necessary. Even if the 1440 was in there, I think that works pretty well in that little small Insta360 Go.
Yeah.
Just a little bit better image quality and a little bit bigger thing that you can use to crop down and get yourself some image stabilization. I think that would be sufficient.
Yeah, I agree. Image stabilization would be great.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I think on the whole, I think all of us, except for Evan, are going to agree to use it. Evan just doesn't want to spend $400.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's $400 that you don't need to spend when you already have a radar.
I got a radar already. I don't need to spend an extra $400.
We got a crap ton of these things down here at the lab, too. So if anybody needs one, reach out. Maybe we can give you a little discount code. Shoot us an email. We'll give you a discount
code.
There you go.
If you're a podcast listener, podcast sponsor, you do have a whole bunch here already.
Yeah, I think we've got, I think we started with 22 of them.
Wow.
And we've already sold quite a few of them.
I believe it.
They've been pretty popular, and you know, the feedback so far has been good. And a lot of people are like, I just want the safety component of it. And that, I think they did a really good job.
And honestly, I think these are hard to get right now. They just came out and I think supplies are low. And so I think you're going to have people contact you and you'll be out of luck, sir.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, but it's a good product, and I will have it on my bike. Yep. Cool. All right, let's move on to one last thing, Matt, because you always have one last thing teed up and ready to rock and roll.
I have like a dozen videos that I have that I'm working on that I am dying to get out, and I just don't have time to get them all out. And like, there's like one that I'm like, should I just scrap this one because it's a good video, but by the time I get it out, there's other stuff. And it's like, I think I'm going to talk about two polar watches. Well, I'm going to talk about one polar watch, and then I'm going to take that same watch and I'm going to compare it to a different polar watch this week. So I'll have two videos this week if I can get motivated and make it happen.
Wow.
And then I think there's more like Garmin cool stuff coming in the future, and I'm like super pumped about all the stuff that's coming. I'm very excited about all the future stuff that's coming in the near future. Like a lot of cool videos coming.
Yeah.
So we're busy bees.
Cool.
Evan Price, one last thing.
Nice. Racing PIR tonight.
Yeah.
My legs are fried as I'm sitting here longer and longer. This is going to be fun. And I'm going to Canada for the first time ever.
What?
This weekend.
Whoa.
Been to Canada. I've been to quite a few different countries, and I've not been to the one that is like a 4-hour drive north of us. So
is this a mountain biking trip?
No, this is Cassius Racing Victoria. So we are leaving early Friday morning to jump on a ferry, which is apparently how you need to get to the wonderful country of Canada. I did not know that.
There's
more than one way.
The island of Vancouver Island is where Victoria is.
I just assumed there was an ocean between us and
Canada.
I
was
born in Canada. You're Canadian?
No.
I knew there was something.
I was born in Canada.
I knew there was something.
What happened there?
My parents moved when I was 6 to the States. My mother was American. My father was Canadian. And so when
that
was 6.
Explains so much.
I was born in Vancouver, British Columbia.
So many questions now.
Yeah. Canadian vegan triathlete.
Yeah.
Lance Appler.
That is amazing.
Look at that flannel on this guy. He's got to be Canadian.
I know. It just makes him look even more lumberjacky now.
Good day, mate. That's perfect. Good day.
I've heard that where you were born is an absolutely gorgeous place. So I'm very excited to go there.
Vancouver Island is gorgeous where Victoria is. You will love it.
I'm excited.
Very cool spot.
I'm very excited.
The half marathon part is like the running part is trail.
Oh, I'm for sure running that whole thing before they get onto the run. And then we got Scott Macbeth racing, John Hoffman racing, Scott Goodrich racing, Lisa Worms racing, I think. And there's somebody else I'm missing. Mark Radford's racing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mark's doing a bunch of triathlons this year.
Yeah.
He's doing like three or four or something.
He's back into like a full season, definitely.
Yeah, I saw him running. He's such a
good
guy.
Goodrich has a lot of races too. Coming. So I'm just going to be out there cheering hard and
Sherpa-ing
and trying to get my training in, which will always be fun.
Good.
Beautiful place to swim, so be easy.
That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm pumped to swim. It's beautiful swimming, right? From what I've heard.
I don't know. Friggin' horseshoe.
No, you were 6 years old. You wouldn't.
It's going to be great. It'll be a great swim.
Yeah. Hey, Lance, backpedal, eh?
I am racing my mountain bike this next weekend. The Sisters Stampede is coming up in Sisters, Oregon, right near Bend. It's one of Mike Ripley's mudslinger events.
Is that this weekend?
That is this weekend coming up.
Oh, my gosh.
The Sunday race.
Do you want to do the Telluride 100?
What's that?
Do you want to do Telluride?
I don't ever want to race my bike 100 miles, ever. Especially
I thought you might
want
to jump on that one. I'm going to ask you.
No, that's just what you wished in your
it worked
brain.
It worked last weekend.
It worked for PIR.
For PIR.
What's the difference between PIR and a 100-mile bike race at 12,000 feet?
Okay. About 9 hours.
Maybe more. Nine would be nice. Probably 9.5, maybe 10.
So lots of teammates are going to be there. Usually the weather's a little bit better across the Cascades. So I'm excited to go race my mountain
bike. When are you taking off? Thursday?
I will probably leave Friday
or
Saturday because I think my daughter Kelty's coming home and I want to spend time with her too.
Cool. Nice. My one last thing, hopefully the weather holds out. what this week has been kind of spotty, maybe, I'm not sure, but on Friday we will be welcoming back the Fog Hat Friday rides. So we're going to bring back the social rides on Friday. We run those every year from Memorial Day to Labor Day weekend, and they're back. So a lot of people are excited about that.
I could probably even do that.
You should, and you could.
I'm at the level of Fog Hat level.
You might get dropped.
Level Fog Hat.
You need to be careful.
Well, I might get dropped. That's not a big deal, but
I'm coming out with Barrett's going to come out with me. So bring my son. He's going to start doing those, and he might even bring some of his buddies. But that's going to be one of the places where we're going to start introducing a bunch of new juniors to
excellent
some road riding stuff. So it should be fun.
Cool.
Looking forward to that. All right, we are going to call this done, wrapped in the books. We will be back next week with another one. And until then, bye for now.